Hey, radio listeners, the show won't go on the most shocking, bizarre, and historic deaths of performers on stage. New book by Jeff Abram and Burt Kearns. If you're interested in sort of showbiz stories, trivia, there's tons and tons of really interesting stories in here and tons of stuff I didn't know. And I felt a little bit of an uneasy sense of amusement while reading a lot of this, and we discuss that reaction to death, among other things. Some interesting stuff coming up. It is fundraiser month. It is Hellraiser, we call it, our October mostly silent fundraiser. We don't talk about it too much on the air. We don't do all the pitching and phone answering and stuff, so you can only pledge via email. But if you go to wfmu.org/Michael, you'll see it at the top of the page. There's a little pledge banner. Pledge, get yourself a new WFMU t-shirt, perhaps one of my old premiums, some stickers, whatever you want, hats. We got everything. But, of course, we need your help. So check it out, and check out this interview with Burt Kearns, author of The Show Won't Go On. Okay, as I was mentioning, this new book called The Show Won't Go On, The Most Shocking, Bizarre, and Historic Deaths of Performers on Stage has just been released, and the authors are Jeff Abram and Burt Kearns, and Burt Kearns joins me on the phone. Good morning, Burt. How are you?
Good morning. Doing very well.
I read the book. I really enjoyed the book. There is all sorts of different types of show business death in here. I sort of want to concentrate on the musicians who died. It seems like heart attack is the number one way to go on stage for musicians. Is that right?
Yes, when you're not talking about murder or electrocution, yeah. I think overall in show business, heart attacks, you know, aneurysms are the way that people are going, mostly because the life of a performer isn't always a healthy life. You know, there's traveling, you know, on the road and eating bad food and not getting checkups and not watching your heart. So, yeah, a lot of heart attacks.
And taking tons of drugs for at least some people, and I know that can, you know, I think overall, I don't know if this is true, but I'm guessing had they never taken drugs, maybe their lives would have been longer for a lot of musicians.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. I mean, but looking back at music, in our investigation and our study of this, you know, bizarre phenomenon of performers who died on stage, we found that when it comes to musicians, the most dangerous, most hazardous occupation is that of orchestra conductor. We found, you know, dozens of orchestra conductors who died on the podium during shows or rehearsals. And again, it goes back to the same thing. You know, bad diets. You know, they travel a lot. They eat airplane food, and some of them drink a bit, I think, as well.
It's not just I assume the exertion of conducting an orchestra.
Yeah, I think when it gets to that, when they get into a movement of the classical piece and suddenly begin that heavy aerobic activity, they fall over. And we were amazed to find that there were so many of them over the years.
So as I was reading the book, I have to admit to a sort of uncomfortable finding that it was sort of funny in some ways, like these people dying. I mean, there's something just strangely funny. Am I weird or is that a common reaction?
Well, here's the thing. Of course, it's not funny. We've interviewed people whose parents or whose friends died 30 years ago. And, you know, during the interview, they begin to weep because they remember the person. But often it is, you know, ironic. There's the actress who died after singing, "Please Don't Talk About Me When I'm Gone," and then fell over and got a standing ovation. There are, you know, the worst thing is to be a comedian and die on stage because immediately they think that there's something wrong, that they think it's part of the act. And then when they say, "Is there a doctor in the house?" that gets an even bigger laugh. See, there you go again.
Yeah, I guess that's really what it is that there are some sad, certainly sad moments and sad reactions in the book, but it is uncanny how many times the thing they were doing right before they died has some ironic connection to the death, like it's their birthday or it's they're about to retire or the lyrics or the song title, something, you know, presages death.
That happens a lot, which leads to a lot of misconceptions. I mean, you look at most recently there was Colonel Bruce Hampton, the jam band godfather, at the Fox Theater in Atlanta. They were having a 70th birthday party for him, and everybody from members of the Allman Brothers Band to Billy Bob Thornton to John Hopper were on stage celebrating Bruce Hampton's birthday. And for the encore, every musician was on the stage, and Bruce Hampton was singing Turn On Your Love Light and doing the James Brown thing where he would go off stage as if he was exhausted, then come back on stage again. And at one point, they threw the guitar solo to a 14-year-old kid named, I think his name is Taz Neubauer, a blues prodigy. And while the kid is performing, is playing his solo, Bruce gets down on his knees and does that I Am Not Worthy thing, and then lies prone at his feet. Well, everybody kept jamming for the next 5 minutes, and the kid realizes there's something wrong. And he's looking over at the adults, and there's John Popper, you know, bouncing up and down on his harmonica, and then they realize that Bruce Hampton was dead. Colonel Bruce was dead, and they closed the curtains, and Billy Bob Thornton said, thanks for coming. And again, he talked about, you know, ironies, that sort of, you know, he died surrounded by his colleagues and, you know, fans that were going crazy for him in the audience, and that was the last sound he heard, was, you know, the applause and the music.
When someone dies in a nursing home, you know, an old rock star or a rock climbing accident, you sort of expect it, but there's something about dying on stage that is so unexpected. Did you come across audience members or crew members or band members who witnessed this and are just scarred for life from this weird occurrence?
Well, getting back to the Colonel Bruce story, there were several, including Chuck Lavelle. I don't know if you remember Chuck Lavelle, the keyboardist for the Allman Brothers and the Rolling Stones. He was quite traumatized by it. I think he wrote some Facebook messages about it, just about, you know, how traumatized he was. But then at the same time, he said that the exit was very poetic.
One lady dies getting bitten by the snake that she's with. I thought that was an interesting one.
Yeah, in Indonesia, there are women who are sort of pop stars who perform with snakes. They perform with cobras, and it's called the Dangdut pop movement. They perform with snakes because, first of all, it keeps the men away from grabbing them on the stage, and also it could mean the difference between making $5 for a show and making $20 for a show. There's a woman named Irma Boulay, and she was performing with a cobra, and usually they make sure that the venom is removed from the cobras before they dance with them. In this case, it wasn't, and she was bitten by a king cobra, which is especially deadly, and continued to dance for another 45 minutes before she died on stage. That, I believe, is also captured on a YouTube video, which went viral. That's another thing recently now, is that a lot of these deaths on stage are captured by people with their cell phones in the audience, and they live on YouTube.
Can you tell me, what do you think is the death that the most people witnessed? Was there something that was broadcast either on radio or television or what is the thing that the most folks saw happen?
Well, probably the one that is most legendary is the death of the comedy magician Tommy Cooper. This happened in 1984. He was live on television in England. It was sort of like the Ed Sullivan Show, if you remember that. It was like a variety show broadcast live from a theater in the West End across the United Kingdom, and he would do magic tricks that, you know, intentionally went wrong. He was very, very well loved. He was on stage and he did his act, and he collapsed, was lying back against the curtain, and of course the audience laughed. They thought it was part of the act. When someone reached out from behind the curtain to try to pull him off stage, he got a bigger laugh, and it took a full 45 seconds before the director cut to a commercial. Tommy Cooper then his body was pulled backstage, and the next act that was supposed to go on was Donny Osmond and a bunch of dancers, but they couldn't do it because they couldn't open that rear curtain, so they threw a couple of impressionists out. They were forced to do their show live on television while rescue efforts were going on 2 feet behind them, you know, banging on Tommy Cooper's chest, etc., trying in vain to save him. We found out that one of those impressionists died on stage about a year and a half later. But the Tommy Cooper incident has been seen by the most people because it's lived on as a YouTube clip. It's gotten millions of views on YouTube over the years.
Yeah, but it was broadcast live. That millions.
Live, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. I want to remind folks that Bert Kearns is our guest. He's the co-author of the book called The Show Won't Go On, The Most Shocking, Bizarre, and Historic Deaths of Performers on Stage. And the website is thisshowwon'tgoon.com if folks want to get links or information or updates, because you sort of keep track of who's passed away since the book has been published, right? And I think there's, like you said earlier, there's a bunch of folks that didn't quite make it to the book, and you talk about some of them on the website as well. Let's talk about Nick Lowe, one of our favorites on this show. I know that he's still alive. I just saw him a couple weeks ago, yet there's a little piece about him in the book.
Nick, you know, it's conventional wisdom that the first rock performer to be electrocuted to death on stage was a guy named Les Harvey. He was the guitarist in a Scottish blues band called Stone the Crows. I don't know if you know the singer. Maggie Bell was the singer of that group. And they were performing in Wales. He was warming up on stage when he touched a faulty microphone and was immediately jolted into the 27 Club. You know, that 27 Club of Jim Morrison and Amy Winehouse, the performers who died at age 27. He's the least famous of that group, but he made it, and he's the only one to have died on stage so far. But doing some research, we found out that 3 years before Les Harvey, another musician was electrocuted to death on stage, and that happened to be Nick Lowe. He was performing at the Marquee Club in London, opening for the band Yes. He was with the band Brinsley Schwartz, his first like pub rock band, I think they called it back then. He was playing bass. He had one hand on his bass guitar when he touched a faulty microphone and was thrown 8 feet across the stage into the amplifiers. At the time he fell, he was still holding his guitar and holding that microphone, and the current was continuing to go through his body. He was flopping around like, you know, Joe Cocker on his back there. No one could touch the microphone because it was hot, and no one could unplug everything because of the stacks of Marshall amps that were there. So there was chaos all around him, and Nick told later in an interview, he recalled that everything kind of went into slow motion, and he heard a voice say, "Well, this is it, Basher. You're going now. This is the end, and goodbye now." And as he heard that voice, his keyboard player decided to kick the microphone out of his hands, and he went to kick the microphone and missed, and instead kicked Nick Lowe in the ribs. And doctors later said that restarted Nick Lowe's heart and brought him back to life. They brought Nick to the hospital. The band just thought he was dead, and they went across the street to the pub to mourn him, to drown their sorrows. Nick woke up in the hospital and was so happy to be alive that he tore out all the tubes and wires and walked back to the pub. And when he opened the door, the band just freaked. They thought it was his ghost. But they went back across the street and they did the second set.
That's amazing. Back from the dead. Well, like I said, really enjoyed the book, and it's not just about musicians. There's all kinds of showbiz deaths in here. It's called The Show Won't Go On, The Most Shocking, Bizarre, and Historic Deaths of Performers on Stage by Jeff Abram and Bert Kearns, and more information at theshowwon'tgoon.com. Bert, thanks for joining us and filling in some of the details about this gruesome book that you've written.
Really cool to be on your show. Thanks so much.
Save a bit of power. He got 50,000 watts in a big acoustic tower. Security's so tight tonight. Oh, they're ready for a tussle. Gotta keep your backstage passes, 'cause your promoter had the muscle. And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. And so it goes. And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. In the tall buildings sit the head of all nations, worthy men from Spain and Siam. All day discussions with the Russians, but they still went ahead and beat all the plans. Now up jumped the U.S. representative. He's the one with the tired eyes. 747 for him in that condition. Flying back from a peacekeeping mission. And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. And so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. And so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows.